We kick off hour number three of the program. It's Three and Out alongside Davey Hudson, Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. This NCAA stuff, it continues to get funnier to me. In fact, this is why when LSU stuff broke, I thought, why in the world are they doing anything to Will Wade? Like, why wouldn't you just... I mean, there are whole departments now. Their whole job is to just put out statements like this one from Notre Dame. Notre Dame is unaware of the misconduct Blazer alleged today, a school spokesman said.
Sure they are.
We highly prize ethical conduct and will seek to determine if Blazer or anyone else sought to compromise any of our students in that regard.
Yawn.
I feel like at the highest levels, the most pure universities, they just hire people that are smart enough to never talk about the fact that this is fine. So, like, it's like, you know, this is, like, you know.
Yeah, just don't talk about it.
You know we want this to happen. You know we want agents, boosters, people that are not officially related to the program to help us get the best players by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that no one ever mentions it, from the coaches to compliance to, I mean, the perfect compliance officer would be somebody that never makes a mistake like Cal Poly did on, like, the dollars and cents of actual university policies, but is completely complicit without ever saying it about all the extra people making sure the best players end up at your school and play for you and leave without ever mentioning the fact of anything, you know, that they got tacos or that they got $100 handshakes or that they got a car or anything like that. It's just a bit. It's just a whole big sham, right?
Yep.
And I don't think anyone cares.
Nope.
As you mentioned, the money's going to continue rolling in. Why stop?
We're still going to watch. I mean, I'm
hooked for life.
I'm not going to throw my hands up at some point and go, Alabama's cheating more than we are. See why we can't beat them. I'm done with sports forever. I'll never watch another Tennessee football game.
It's like,
will I ever do that? No.
Like, I can't even begin to think of, like, what would have to happen for me to no longer support college football.
These boys.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even fathom, like, this taking place, something so absurd to where it's like, I'm out. Because it's just like, I mean, it's been instilled in me since it's such a young age of having
this
fandom.
And that's what they're banking on. Like, they know people can't turn it off. We got the fix. We got to scratch the itch, man. They know that.
It's the best reality show ever invented. Sports.
But the money's so big now. Like, coaches, administrators, like, you want to keep making all this money, you better be good. Right now, how do you gain that advantage?
Yep.
You cheat.
And even if your team sucks, you still have the idea of hope.
Yeah, maybe we'll hire the guy that cheats. That's what USC did when they got Pete Carroll. You think they regret that Pete Carroll cheated to get Reggie Bush?
Louisville fans care that they had to vacate the 2013 national championship?
Nope, because they got to sit there and watch it happen, and they were the best team that year. Do they care that everyone in the country now looks at Louisville and says, you're a bunch of cheating jerks? Nope. Got to watch them win a national championship. Yeah. I got a year of a victory lap before anything really started happening.
And
don't care.
At that
care.
Point, you still get to just latch on to the mentality of, well, it's us against the world.
Yeah.
And you just build camaraderie with your own fans.
And that's the exact card you play. Us against the world. They don't want us to be successful. It's DJ Khaled. They don't want you to be happy.
So they hate us because they ain't us.
Cheat till you win, win till you get caught, then start over.
Blazer also testified that he, quote, went down to North Carolina and developed relationships and started paying these guys, adding, I wasn't the only one paying them. There were other agents involved. He cited an unnamed Tar Heels football player he said he paid, who also went on to become a first-round pick in 2009 by the Giants. New York drafted North Carolina wide receiver Hakeem Nicks, 29th overall that year. I love how he doesn't just say the name, but he gives so much information about the player that people are like, oh, yeah, that's Aaron Maben. Oh, this is Hakeem Nicks.
Okay, I'm biased, but, I mean, across the entire university, is North Carolina cheated more than anyone else?
Sure seems
name another way. School. Like,
what do you think? It's Duke Envy.
Well, I said I have a bias there, but, I mean, even if I'm able to take that away, I still think I'm making a valid point. Every single program. Name another school that said every single program implicated. Cal Poly doesn't really count.
Well, no, that's the thing, right? Like, the smart schools pick their sport, cheat their ass off in that one, and then everything else is clean so the NCAA doesn't come hunting. I mean,
North Carolina just threw up the middle finger at the NCAA and said, eh.
Yeah, and it worked.
In 2012.
Except Sylvia Hatchell, yeah. Unfortunately.
In 2012, the NCAA placed the Tar Heels on 3 years probation and banned them from competing in a bowl game for, among other infractions, impermissible agent benefits. As part of the self-imposed penalties before that decision, North Carolina chose to vacate all 16 of its wins in 2008 and 2009. So they averaged 8 wins a season for 2 years and said, we'll just take those wins away, NCAA. Like they already played in the bowl games, yep, or whatever. Like,
the coaches got their bonuses for winning, yeah, 8 games. Like, they don't care. Wipe the history books clean. Okay. Oh, no. I'm serious, man. Like, just cheat till you get caught and start over.
While entering a guilty plea in 2017 to federal charges, including securities fraud, wire fraud, and aggravated identity theft, Blazer admitted a role in the Tar Heels scandal, telling the court he, quote, made various payments to college athletes while they were student athletes to pursue them to hire me as their investment advisor when they finished their college athletic careers. He was eventually sentenced to a maximum of 67 years in prison.
Oof.
And on Tuesday, he said he hoped his work as a cooperating witness would result in, quote, something much less than that.
I mean, see, now this is how you stop cheating. The FBI comes in and just throws people in prison. Like, I don't mind if you fire me, but prison? Maybe we should tax these payments to the recruits.
Blazer insisted Tuesday that he only paid players and not coaches, unlike the allegations against Dawkins. Attorneys for Dawkins and Code asserted that their clients resisted the plan proposed to them by Blazer and the undercover FBI agents to bribe coaches. In the first trial, Dawkins and Code were convicted on charges relating to bribing coveted high school players and their families to sign with certain colleges associated with Adidas. The two men were sentenced in March to 6 months each in prison, with former Adidas executive James Gatto getting sentenced to 9 months. And all three have filed appeals. I mean, if anything really bad happens from this stuff, it's going to be like, well, 8 years ago, this awful thing happened. Like, this team won championship, and they were completely cheating their ass off. And everybody's going to be like, cool, bro. Good story.
Neat.
Who's number one right now?
Yeah.
You know? Wait, there's a big game this weekend. I don't care. You know, like, it's just not going to matter.
No, no one cares. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's funny to me when people are like, oh, well, we do it the right way. We don't cheat. Like, you're probably losing. Like, Clemson, cheating their ass off. They have been for years. Now they're just good at it. Did you see they got a 5-star D-tackle yesterday? Remember they turned down that defensive end that was a 5-star? Because they said they were full. I don't think they were bluffing. I think they were full.
They're really full.
Yeah. They might break records for recruiting classes this year.
Seems like a good problem to have.
You win a natty, the money comes rolling in. The boosters are very happy.
Boosters are happy.
Boosters are happy at Clemson. They are just cutting checks. Western Union getting some work done in Clemson, South Carolina.
I think it was the 80s where the NCAA popped Clemson for 144 infractions at one time. And they gave them, like, probation because they just won, like, the national championship.
Yeah.
It was, like, 80 or 81, whichever one. They won one, Georgia won the other, whatever. Yeah. They're like, 144 things you've done wrong. Yeah, we'll put you on probation.
Probation.
Because you're our star right now. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
That's why the big schools don't get hammered.
That was before social media, of course. So yeah. It's a little different time.
Oh, well, that's helping the news spread a little faster.
You can news dump that.
Yeah, back page.
Yeah.
Sports section.
It's so you just Take, make,
we took care of it.
You make the findings so long, no one wants to read it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good plan that a lot of, like, I mean, Congress does that all the time. We're just going to write hundreds and hundreds of pages, just hoping by the time the vote comes up, no one goes through to actually see what's in the bill.
Have you seen the NCAA rule book? it's like an encyclopedia.
So Clemson's 2020 class has one 5-star and all the rest are 4-stars, but they turned away a 5-star, right? It's kind of weird.
It's because I think they got the other 5-star at the same position ahead of him already committed.
Hmm. Brian.
I had this problem when I played NCAA football.
He's not wrong. I mean,
that's
like
funny.
You get a 5-star quarterback.
It brings back the memories.
You get a 5-star quarterback, and then you got to go You lead for another one. You got to pull a scholarship. Man, I can't take two quarterbacks this class. I already got a loaded roster. I need wide receivers. You get a couple of five stars, but then, you know, a guy wants to commit late. But you couldn't cut people then.
No.
Once they committed, they were locked in. You couldn't pull a scholarship.
Two of Clemson's top four recruits are defensive tackles. Both right at 6'5", like
they're
270
be
and 290.
Just fine.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Hang on. There's another D tackle. I guess they lost their whole like defensive line, right? One, two.
They're losing all their starters on the line.
Three of their top six players are defensive tackles in this class. All four and five stars, of course.
Got to reload. They haven't got caught cheating yet, so just keep on keeping on.
One's from in-state, and the other two are from D.C. One's from D.C. and one's from Maryland. You know what?
Getting the job done.
The thought I just had.
Hmm.
This used to be us. Like, nationally recruiting, you know.
Give it a minute.
Okay.
Give it a minute.
I just got to the Tucker kid from Catholic. He was, like, next one on the list. The guard, four-star.
Yeah. We can still flip him.
At least they're not in our conference.
Amen.
At least we don't have to see him.
Hey, those kids aren't going to Alabama.
It's true.
That's positive.
All right.
Yeah.
Optimism Wednesday. Wait, are we doing Westeros Wednesday today?
Yeah.
Duh.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's coming up.
Should we do it next segment, or should we wait and do the last two? Because this is probably going to be a two-segment W-dub.
I think next segment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Westeros
Wednesday.
That's good,
because Danny Boy just hashtagged Westeros Wednesday 7 times and tagged us all in the tweet.
Let's go.
He wants it.
It's next on the flip side. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
Will you die? There is no middle ground.
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. If you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention.
Hodor! Hodor!
Welcome into Westeros Wednesday here on 3 and Out Fan Run Radio. This is episode 2 of season 8, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Houston, your immediate take on the quality of the episode?
Initially, it was not good. I've settled down since. I understand what they were doing. I think. It was an enjoyable episode. It felt like the first two episodes could have been one episode. And I don't feel like we have that much time to waste. But I'm starting to come around on episode 2 of this final season of Game of Thrones. But initially I was kind of mad. I also was mad because I predicted exactly how this episode would end the moment it started.
Mm.
I said, I know how this episode is going to end. The Night King walks over a hill. There's Winterfell. Cut.
Yep.
And how did it end?
Yep.
Just like that.
Yep.
Not to brag, but I'm totally bragging. Maybe it was a little obvious. I don't know. Maybe not. But yeah, I was disappointed at first. But I think, you know, it felt like episode 1 of this season was a setup episode. This was the setup episode. That was the setup to the setup.
Yeah,
at least there was no 12-minute dragon ride in this one.
True.
Right?
True.
Although we did have some very strange parts that I could have completely done without.
Yes.
Tormund's giant story was unnecessary. Arya, who is like 13, losing her virginity, could have done without it.
I don't know. I think that's a crucial scene.
Why?
Because the show has Like, okay.
She'll be relaxed for the fight.
In stories, movies, works of art.
Or tired.
The hardest thing is to show true character development, right? And here...
Well, that's what this whole episode was, and I thought they did a really good job of that.
Here you have a show that has run for, I mean, literally years. Like, it's not like a book where things happen over years. I mean, this show is years in the show. It's also years in real life. So, it's... Some of that aging is built in because, like, I mean, like, Bran looks, you know, Arya, they look completely different. They're all grown up from where they were when the show started.
Mm-hmm.
But to truly, like, that's her whole thing when she's gotten back to Winterfell. Every time she runs into somebody that, well, really everybody that she's run into, still thinks of her as the little girl, still treats her like she's just one of the girls, still doesn't understand that if there was a one-on-one March Madness style bracket of everybody standing in Winterfell, she might be the one that would end up cutting down the nets because she slit everyone's throat. Like, she might be the best killer in that entire castle right now. They're about to go up against the worst army in existence ever in history. And no one gets it. Everyone still doesn't think she's grown up. So what better way to completely shock your audience?
But we knew that.
We knew that. But what better way to complete her character development before this massive battle by shocking you with the one thing left that you didn't think... the one thing that's left about becoming a woman for Arya Stark. Boom. There it is.
But what,
I kind of loved
it. What purpose does it serve?
I just spent like 2 minutes
explaining
the purpose.
No, you explained that she's a killer, but we knew that.
She's a woman now. That's the purpose.
Okay.
She's an adult, essentially.
All right. I still don't know how that helps things moving
it
forward.
It finishes her development as a character. Like in a lot of movies where the... You know, where the underdog, where the bad news bears, where the Karate Kid have to, like, you know, there's the montage where they kind of speed through all the training and then all of a sudden, wow, they're so much better. Or Star Wars, they now know how to use the Force, like, completely. Like, it's that whole thing. But Game of Thrones isn't like those other shows.
Everything you said about her had nothing to do with whether or not she was a woman. Like, she was already all of those other things. Now she's just slept with...
I think from the audience's view, you still viewed her as the response proves my point.
Yeah.
People still viewed her as a child because she has sex and people just freak out.
Right.
If people already viewed her as a woman and she did that on Game of Thrones, the most provocative whatever show on TV right now, if everybody already viewed her as an adult, nobody would have freaked out.
I'm siding with Nate here. It's not a plot driven part of the show. It's a character example to have this thing come full circle for where Arya was at the beginning to now.
And not to mention
could've
that,
done without it.
Unlike the traditional sense, I mean, she's always been the opposite. I mean, tradition is, you know, they're virgin princesses. They get married, then they have sex. Like, it's pretty simple and straightforward.
I don't know, man. I feel like Game of Thrones.
she walks in, picks her target, throws him on a bag of something, and says, "Let's go."
She did make him take his own pants off.
It's kind of perfect. I liked it. I thought it was. I mean, I thought it was the exact. I mean, it was the only big surprise in the whole episode, and I think by setting it apart and not having anything else major really happen, it. I mean, doesn't this make her take another step in how important she's about to be? Like, they don't spin that whole scene. They don't do that if she's not about to be a vital part of the whole thing.
And I don't know, man. It's Game of Thrones.
Right.
So
they could just throw another breaking ball right after. She might be the first one to just die, and the whole thing was nothing.
Yeah. He's going to throw that big ice sword at her, and at least she had a good night with Gendry.
But the fact that it's with Gendry, too, it's like, you know, the whole show started with Sansa and...
Joffrey
trying to be kind of... like on this path together, and now it's come full circle where it's still the kids of those same families sort of back together.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cast-off kids.
He's a Baratheon. You're right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the afterthought children that could
not
be
that
the
Joffrey
heroes.
Was technically a Baratheon, but he was.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he was Lannister. Right.
Yeah.
Which
double Lannister.
Yeah. Double Lannister. Well said.
It's like a double shot of espresso. Yeah. You know? Double the same thing.
Okay, we spent way too long on that.
Sorry. Where would you like to go?
I said that was I could have done without it, and then we just did all with it.
It was the whole episode.
Do you want
to
go?
No, it was not. Was not the whole episode.
We could go Jaime showing up and being before Daenerys and Sansa and Jon, or what? Talk about. I'm just throwing out ideas of where we can take this next.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a thousand different ways.
Well, no, so I'm throwing that out there, kind of leading you to whichever way you would want to go. Or we could go with Bran and Jaime.
I don't want any of that. I want Bran and Tyrion. That's where I'm going. That to me might be the most important scene that we didn't actually see.
Something about Tyrion pulling up a chair was just. Is that what you're talking about? When
he's like,
I got
Bran's
all night.
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, if only we were stranded in the middle of winter in a castle.
Something about Tyrion being so short and pulling up a regular sized chair. It was just like that was the moment. It's like, okay.
I said this on Monday, but it seems like Bran, who can see past, present, and future. Should have a lot more answers and a lot more to say.
Right.
And maybe just no one's asked him the right questions, and maybe he can't speak to the questions or give the answers. But if there is anybody who would be willing to listen and learn, isn't it Tyrion, the guy who all he did was read books and drink wine and sleep with prostitutes?
I drink and I know things.
And he pulls up next to Bran and is basically like, been a while, bud. How you doing? Everyone says you're creepy now. Let's talk about it. And then they just cut. But I'm thinking that it's possible. You don't know how long that conversation went on, obviously. And then Tyrion, fairly quickly after that, is in the fire room with everybody, just drinking and having a good time, singing songs and listening to Tormund tell stories of drinking from a giant's breasts. But I think Tyrion might have learned some things about the Night King, the Army of the Dead. I think it's possible now that he's armed with some knowledge. And I thought it was fitting that at the end, it's Jon, Daenerys, and in between them is Tyrion. Almost like he went to the arrival of the Army of the Dead because he's got some stuff. Like he knows some things now that might help them win this battle, this war.
Well, and they set that up with some other dialogue too about how you know he's not her hand because of any other reason, like it's because of his brains and his ability to think and how and then Varys even you know he had made some mistakes but he was still Tyrion had made some mistakes because the whole front end was obvious of the show of this episode was Jaime basically saying yeah Cersei's lied to you it's all a big hoax like she's not coming this is it.
I was a little disappointed we didn't go to King's Landing once. A little bit. Just a little bit, because, man, it feels like Cersei's got some stuff going on, and I'd like to know, but I do think the next episode, I think Sunday night probably starts in King's Landing, and you're there for just an uncomfortable amount of time before you go back to Winterfell. That's my guess. They're going to end this past episode with the Night King walking over the hill, and they're going to start the next episode in King's Landing, and we're all going to be like, no, what? God, no, no!
Yeah, that could happen.
And then we're going to be uncomfortably learning things that we really don't care about, but it's a longer episode, so there's still going to be plenty of time for the battle scene.
I do like how the show writers created, once we have this giant battle about to take place, we are at Winterfell, where you have all these families, all these houses there, and it's kind of where everything started, going back to the first episode of the show.
Well, and it's bringing in all the characters that we followed on their separate journeys, right? Like, everything kind of exploded out of Winterfell, and now all of these pieces are, for the most part, back in the same place where it started. I mean, and Sunday night I wasn't thrilled with the episode, but they kind of show you where everyone's at, right? Like, they went to the Hound. You got to see some stuff about Jaime, about Brienne, about Tormund, about Tyrion, about... So, I mean, like, they went to every character and kind of said, here's where this person is. Here's how they're dealing with what's about to happen. Here's what's on their mind. You know, the Hound's just sitting up on the bridge pounding some booze, right? Arya is kind of checking things out, and then she's going to go find Gendry, like, ASAP. Tormund just wants to sit next to Brienne and tell a funny story and try to hit on her. Jaime, I think, feels like he needs to atone for some things, which is why he's there in the first place. And then, I mean, it was a pretty cool scene when he knights Brienne, calls her Sir Brienne, which was funny.
It's S-E-R.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So,
wait, are you saying it for the show or real life?
I'm saying at the time a woman couldn't be a knight, but all knights were called Sir whatever of whatever.
Yeah, and so the became, way Martin, George R.R. Martin says that, it's like S-E-R to where it's slightly different. Hmm.
So in the book, like, Jaime is S-I-R and she is S-E-R?
Or they're all S-E-R.
I'll get on that.
I mean, I think the point is that she was the first knight, but since they called knight Sir, and she had already been Lady Brienne, now she was Sir Brienne because she was a knight.
Well, and that's everything she ever wanted, was to be...
Which is funny because she totally played it off like she didn't really care, yeah. And then she arises, and it's just... I think that might be the first time she really smiled in the entire series, which was strange. It felt weird when she smiled because mm-hmm. she's such a stern... You know, mm-hmm. tough character.
And they're all S-E-R.
Yeah. So.
Huh. There you go.
I mean, I don't know. I was thinking about this as I watched this. Like, wouldn't that be kind of reality in some ways? Like, a real battle? Like, it's coming. You know, you've got, like, 8 hours. Like, all the training's done. All the hay's in the barn. Now you're just kind of sitting around. Enjoying what could potentially be your last hours of not throwing things at people and taking swords to the arm or leg. I mean, it was the human aspect of this show on display. Because there were no special effects, right? I mean, there were no dragons, there were no explosions, there was no nothing. It was Gendry making swords out of dragon glass.
Yeah, you saw a lot of preparation stuff going on early in the episode.
Right, but it was just like it was the real guts of this war that's about to take place. And I think the bouncing from character to character was kind of to set you up for the pain that you're going to feel on Sunday night when God knows how many of these people are taken away from the show. And, like, will we recognize members of the Army of the Dead? Like, are they going to do that? Like, are we going to see, like,
well, I mean, people
zombie...
have said, like, what if the Army of the Dead overruns Winterfell and Ned Stark bust out of the crypt?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Fighting
like,
the Army of the Dead.
Like, is that an angle they want to go? Like, is that necessary? Or will this just be, no, it's all just a bunch of dead people. It doesn't really matter whether or not you recognize who they are.
I think with the limited amount of episodes left, that it's just too, there's not enough time to get into
that. That's what I'm saying.
That,
like,
right?
I don't, unless there's some...
Like somebody said Hodor with, you know, blue eyes.
Right, right. Like,
throwing people everywhere.
Yeah, like... Do I need, like, unless that is something that maybe we don't know about, like, it has to be a member of the Army of the Dead that dies or I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm hoping it doesn't become like a reunion of dead people versus the people that are still alive.
I don't think it will be.
I really hope they stay away from that. Like, I don't need that.
I mean, like, because you would have to go back a good ways to find people that, like, they didn't burn. Because for most of the people,
I'm saying there's still some. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I realize that it's not everybody that's died throughout the entire series, but it's like, I just don't. Yeah, like I don't need Hodor running out there, like squaring up on Arya or something. Like I just don't need that. Like just another big guy that I don't recognize would be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to. Like, do you just invite everyone back? Like, hey, you're dead now, so you go to this costume and wardrobe.
There is a trailer. Giant.
Is it a good way to have, like, everybody take the bow at the end, you know?
Yeah, all on stage.
They at least addressed, if you kind of take out the Night King, everyone that he has turned is likely
right.
to fall.
Right. Well, that's... I mean, you know, that's a classic narrative, right? Like, instead of just... When you're completely outmatched from a traditional standpoint, there has to be some weakness, right? I mean, it's the shaft and the Death Star, right? The chain reaction.
Right.
It's the,
yeah.
There has to be some way, some advantage that you find that, and you know, they learned that earlier. So obviously that's going to be something that's used. I mean, I would assume anytime you kill one of the guys on horseback, right, thousands of the dead people are just going to explode and die. So it's not really going to be
That happened before? Hasn't that happened once?
Mm-hmm. When they were out on that, like, recon mission.
Right.
They killed – they basically got attacked by, like, a group. And when they,
a small group.
Yeah.
And they killed him.
One guy.
So
like
is that how that works
died.
If you kill one of the riders, everyone that he has killed and turned?
Everyone that he's woken up, I guess, right, from the dead.
Okay.
Would then
that would make sense.
Die.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's almost going to be like you're only going to kill the regular dead people just to survive. Your main goal is just to kill those, like, lieutenants in the Army of the Dead, basically.
It's strange, too, because everyone that dies in Winterfell, I guess theoretically, could immediately or close to immediately be then fighting against Winterfell.
True.
I don't know how quickly that transformation takes place. Like, is that a couple of the writers' jobs? Like, hey, you just run around and touch dead people, and so they're on our team now.
We've only seen it happen like one time, and I can't remember what the battle was when Jon went north. But after they were on the boat to head back to the other side of the wall, that's when the Night King
is that hard home.
I think
that's the thing.
Right.
He didn't touch everyone. He just did like a
hand
signal,
didn't touch,
right?
Yeah, he just,
yeah, that's a thing.
Raised both hands, the dragon
he touched, though, right?
Yeah.
And in the very first episode, he touches that baby, right? And then the baby turns blue eyes.
Yeah.
It's gonna be freaking wild.
What's the runtime for episode 3, Davey?
Hour and 20?
I did notice that the main two showrunners, DB and David, they wrote episodes 3 through 6 this season. There were different writers for episode 1 and 2. And then they had the same director for 1 and 2, but they have different directors now for the next 4 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be perfect. I think when they did Battle of the Bastards, remember how just different that episode felt, like mm-hmm. visually, I mean, with what they said to each other, how certain characters respond. I mean, everything kind of changed. That's what you're going to get for... Is it the same director for the next 3?
No.
Okay.
Different directors. It's the same writers.
Same
though.
Writers, right. But
it's the main yeah. showrunners are doing the... have handled the writing for all the 4 final episodes. They have a different... Well, they have the same director for episode 3 and 5... They have the director that did episodes 1 and 2 is coming back for episode 4. So maybe they think he's good at directing kind of the you know, maybe non-battle stuff. I mean, that could be kind of a clue that episodes 3 and 5, there's going to be the most, like, battle types of you know, more action style.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in 5, it's you potentially could have, like, Golden Company fighting whoever, you know, is left. I don't know. And then episode 6 is directed by DB and David, who obviously run the whole show the whole time.
Episode 3, it says 1 hour and 22 minutes. I think we might have mentioned this. I've seen multiple reports. Some people say it's exactly 1 hour, and then I've seen other sites say 1 hour and 22 minutes, which I know is a very big difference. But
no, this is the longest one.
That's what we were talking about. Yeah,
yeah. This is an hour.
Oh, it is?
It's 1 hour and 21 or 1 hour and 22.
Yeah, this was 1 hour 22, and then episode 4 was 1 hour 18, and then 5 and 6 were both 1 hour 20.
Oh wow, I thought this was another one that was. I thought they were more like ramping up. I thought this was kind of the mm-mm. like 1 hour.
That's
it ramps
initially
up
what
and
I thought. Yeah,
down.
And I okay. think they
just a little bit though.
Other sites ended up correcting that.
Okay,
but I'm pretty like I mean. Pretty sure hour 22 is what you're going to get for this one. Which, again, like we mentioned that it took them a month to film
this battle scene. Oh, yeah. No.
Battle
of the Bastards.
Yeah, okay.
It took a month. This took, what, 55 days?
It was at least 2 months, and it's the longest battle in television history as far as the amount of time it spent to film it.
I mean, it's basically a slightly short movie.
They're all short movies now.
Yeah.
I mean... 80 minutes, like that's some shorter movies. It's a long time.
Yeah, like I heard people comparing it, like if you take like the Lord of the Rings trilogy, it's still just like kind of like slightly shorter this final season than
all of them put together.
Yeah.
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 Just Lord of the Rings, not The Hobbit.
And right. And think how much you look forward to like those and those movies come out, you know, years apart or whatever. Pretty cool.
They got a lot to do.
I mean, I think they'll solve some of their issues by, you know, just using death. But
yeah,
I still hope there's enough.
I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was like, I think a lot of the, oh, but how is this going to wrap up? And how does this get, I think a lot of it's going to be, oh, that they're just dead now. That's how. Well,
Bran told you this episode. He foreshadowed that.
Yeah. He's like, yeah.
Jamie's like, what happens after? He's like,
how do you
know
there's
being after?
Someone just tweeted in. I want to make sure I get it. Augustival says, I'm pretty sure Bran can't see the future. I don't recall a moment where he's looked forward, always present and past. And Bran says he's, quote, this world's memory, implying, again, he can see everything in the past. Has he looked to the future? I thought the three-eyed raven, I thought that was the three eyes, past, present, and future. So is he not quite to the future yet?
I haven't seen an instance where
I haven't either, but I thought ahead. Because he was now the three-eyed raven that he could see the future.
Yeah, the only comment he made was in regards to how, like, to stop the Night King. He's like, he doesn't know because it's never been happened before.
Right.
Yeah, they asked if the dragons would, you know, how the fire would affect the army of the dead. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I don't know. No one's ever tried.
Well, we know the fire works on the army of the dead.
For sure, yeah.
But as far as the Night King himself, is he just going to be out there chucking spears
and it's
at the dragons? I don't think I can handle another dragon death. I'm just going to be honest, man. Like, that was, oh, that one hurt.
Yeah.
That was bad. What other, like, weird toys does he have, too? Like, you mentioned, Giant might mm-hmm. have a few. Hell, he might have other dragons. We don't know. Who knows what he found buried in some ice up there?
I mean, Stannis Baratheon's army could come flanking you, if you think about it that way.
Yeah.
Like, they burn all those people. Like, I can't remember all the backstories and stuff. Like, anybody that died up north could just pick them up on the way down.
Yeah, In fact, they kind of said that.
They kind of said we had to go around them to get here. Anyone else that's not here is in the army of the dead.
Yeah,
so they did say that. I don't know if that means just, you know, maybe some Umbers and some other people, but
I would say that little kid, but they burned him. Smart. Can't have him running at you. Hmm. Don't want any trouble from that guy.
It's gonna be something. I mean, had the little girl that everybody's favorite. She's fighting the fight.
JT Dirty Birdie tweets in and says, Bran has flashes of the future and visions, but can't just jump forward and watch.
Okay.
So small blips
yeah.
in the radar.
Well, and he can warg, so he can see other areas.
In real time.
In real time.
Yeah.
Right.
But the Night King apparently knows where he is when he does that. Yeah. Dangerous.
Scary stuff.
Ghost was there.
It's true.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Like, oh, by the way, there's Ghost. We're not going to mention him or even really acknowledge him, but he's there.
He's there.
Strange. I don't know.
We'll come back. Final segment. Three and out. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. This segment of the program is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. We go to Davey Hudson for today's fitness tip of the day.
Today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day, it's all about your mind. Mm. Having a positive mentality pretty much in anything can help determine the type of mood. Some people always say is, did you have a bad day or did you have a bad 5 minutes that you turned into a bad day?
Ooh. Deep.
So if you're able to have a positive outlook on life,
mm-hmm.
not let things get you down. Granted, there's going to be things that are going to, I'm not saying not to be upset. Embrace your emotions, but then check yourself.
Snap and clear.
Be ready to move forward. Because, I mean, a lot about weight loss, it's can you be strong enough mentally? Or if you're trying to add muscle? Because it's going to take time. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So if you're able to come into it with a clear mind, you'll be more successful down the road.
Deep thoughts, Davey Hudson.
There you go. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Go to goldsgym.com to find the location nearest you and download the free 3-day VIP pass to work out before you join.
Danny Boy asked your thoughts on Daenerys' reaction to Jon breaking the news that, that's my throne. B.
I think everything about her has been awkward since she's gotten to Winterfell. Like, okay,
it's like she finally feels It's like she's closer than she's ever been, and she feels more threatened than she ever has.
Guys, this is like any relationship, meeting the family for the first time. It's going to be a little difficult to get by, so.
It is a big hurdle. I just, like, Varys, or maybe it was Davos, like, that initial reaction, she talks to Sansa about how she loves him. Like, if he's the rightful heir, and she's, like, second, like, wouldn't you just say, oh, sweet, we'll get married, we'll rule together, no problem. That's not what happened.
Nope. I think you're seeing that she's been in it for one thing. I think she might be.
And what's wild
is she might not be as good as she claims to be.
The whole show started with her brother being all in for that, and she was just kind of like, yeah, whatever, and was kind of the side story. And then she kind of grew into that role, and then it's her lifelong dream, right, to win the Iron Throne. And then she tells Sansa, hey, I've put my dream on hold for, you know, future hubby over here. Who's in love with who? Who's pulling who? Then he drops the bombshell, and now, I mean, it's going to be a thing.
Well, Targaryens do have a history of going a little crazy with power. That's all. Her brother, her father. Just, they start to do weird things.
Yeah, I mean, her brother basically traded her for power.
Mm-hmm.
So will she make sure that John doesn't, you know.
Or will she do it to John?
Yeah.
Again, this is one of those that may not matter because they're all dead anyway, but.
It is the
her,
type.
Her reaction showed that she's clearly more interested in the throne than just about anything else.
I mean, I thought the whole, you know, like we talked about how the incest thing to us is like this really big deal. To them, based on the way this fantasy world's set up, it's not. It shouldn't be, or it's not. But it seemed like she was almost more bothered by it. Like, I don't think that's the right reaction if she was in a stable mindset. And that's, it's pretty nuts. Who's dying Sunday? I don't know. I don't care to guess. I don't want to guess because I don't want to be right and I don't want to be wrong. Like, I don't want to be right. I don't want to get people right and then feel like I spoiled it for myself. I don't want to be wrong and feel like a moron either.
A lot of people. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
A lot of people. People we love. People that we do not think are going to die will die.
How about this, you know, saying too, like, what is dead will never die, like becoming this whole thing. You know, it's this Ironborn saying, and it's becoming like this storyline within the whole show. It's pretty wild.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, like that, you know, like you, they're going to be trying to kill dead people essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, that was the one thing from episode one of this season where Yara said, they said their little saying, their little goodbye, and she's like, but kill them anyway, you know. I don't know, they as frustrating as I've been, like you, with kind of like, I think those two episodes probably could have been one, they could have left some of the stuff out, they could have just montaged some of the, like,
mm-hmm.
Bran telling people what's going on, and we didn't really need to see all those interactions. Having said all that, they have done a pretty good job of tying all these storylines together in a way that's pretty tight, makes a lot of sense, and has it all set up for this episode.
I agree with that. I thought the first episode, I told this to Davey, like they showed us the strands, and then this last episode they started like weaving them together, and now we get the coup de grace. But I'm telling you right now, the next episode will start in King's Landing, and we will all be frustrated by how long they're there because we're champing at the bit for a big fight.
We'll
put
do
me
it.
On record.
All right. We'll do it again tomorrow, 7 to 10 for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio. Keep it locked in for Talk Sports next. Oh, apparently we have a Twitter fight between Rob Lewis and the Sports Source. This should be fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Lots to get to
tomorrow. Afternoon entertainment.
Keep it right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.